Welcome back, folks, to episode 63 of the Running Man Self-Regulation Skills and Self-Improvement Project podcast with me, your host, Dr. Armando Dominguez, PhD in health psychology, licensed professional counselor, and an adjunct professor at a local community college. And what I'd like to do today is discuss a very important teaching. It's a very concise and simple teaching called the Three Gates. Now, this isn't something I've invented, but is attributed to Buddha and a number of other well-known philosophers and movers in the physical spiritual realm, and that's okay. But the important thing about the three gates is that, not unlike the Platonic reasoning where you're seeking evidence, with the three gates it's really simple, and it kind of implies that there should be some compassion involved in not only your reasoning but in the way that we come to a point of decision to act or not act, to do or not to do. And the three gates go as such. The first gate is, if you come upon information or somebody shares information, being able to ask, number one, is it true? And number two, ask, second gate, is it necessary? And then finally, three, if it meets the first two gates, is it true? Is it necessary? And finally, is it kind? And in the times we're experiencing right now, we see a lot of influencers out there hooping and hollering and getting people emotional about things that are going on overseas and here locally in the United States, but also where there's anger being roused and emotions about being taken advantage of, and also words about how things not only are going wrong, but they've gone south in a terminal sense, that they're irrecoverable, irreparable, and that they'll never be the same. Notice that I'm speaking in absolutes. I said never. Unrecoverable. Big terms that bring emotional feelings out of somebody and thoughts, which create influence and maybe create viewers and readership and listenership. But the three gates, if we apply it to such a thought process, is it true? Well, I don't know. If there are emotions involved, chances are there's probably an opinion based on information, but do we know that information is accurate? Is there evidence for it to support it? And if so, does it mean that I should be professing it in an emotional sense? Because what is the impact of the influence that I'm creating by the words I'm speaking, or the way I'm creating content for that matter and putting it out? Am I trying to meet a certain goal? Do I have a personal agenda? Am I trying to assist the greater agenda of the United States or the globe or any other country for that matter? Or so am I deluded in thinking that I somehow actually have impact regarding such an agenda? Those are things we have to ask, but applying things to the first gate, is it true, is a really good point to start from. Do we have evidence? Is it that? It's not asking just mere fact, but is it true? Fact and actuality. Those are the things that we look at in our 3D world to determine whether or not if something is concrete, is it happening, is it reasonable, is it rational, is it fact-based, is it evidence-supported. These are all some pretty solid ideas behind the it's true gate. So these are things that can help us gather that idea and actually determine whether or not something is not only useful, but also whether or not is it worth my time. If something is not true, unless you're reading a fiction novel just for kicks, then why would I want to waste time adding thought and energy to it? Now, whenever I say thought and energy, anything that we pay attention to requires effort. Even if it's electrochemical, neurotransmitter, and blood flow carrying blood sugar to do thinking process effort, it's still energy that is lost as a result of that engagement. So at a more granular level, we're saving energy so that we can put into something that's more useful if whatever it is that I'm hearing is not kind or true, or for that matter, necessary. So once again, within the first gate is true. Is this true? Is there evidence supported? Is it fact? And then we go on to the next gate. So is it necessary? Sometimes we get caught up in this egoistic way of doing things on social media. And I point to social media because that's where the largest percentage of our informational consumption is occurring right now as a globe. as individuals and as groups. And if something is necessary, that means it's required. It's a have to. And if we dig a little deeper into what necessary is, let's look at what the basic necessities of life are. What's the most basic, necessary, fundamental ingredient of living if you're a human being? Well, we need to breathe. Any more basic and fundamental than that? Doesn't exist. But the second and third most important are food and water. Then a little bit after that is the need for shelter, to be able to assimilate those things that we've eaten and drank so that we can continue to breathe. So to put things in context, what's necessary is not what is a need versus a desire or a want, and also what's required to be an element of life, which those things are necessary, but they're also fundamental biological needs. So if we pass through gate number one, is something true? Did I hear something? Is it information? Is it factual? Did I get it from a first-hand source, or did I get it from a gossip? Did I hear opinion? Was there an emotional inflection? Is that something worth my time and attention and energy? So the next question about necessity or need, do I need to pay attention to this? Now, how can I differentiate versus something that is merely necessary to get something done versus something that is an actual need that I must attend to, that's not only true, but also truly necessitated, such as I need to continue to breathe. I need to drink water. I need to eat. So once we pass those through gate number one, those are truth. We need those things, air, water, food, and then everything else after that is manageable. If you have no shelter, if you are breathing, if you're eating, if you're drinking, then you have the requisite energy in most cases to be able to build a shelter that comes a little further down the line, like I'd mentioned. So placing things in priority and order are absolutely required to be able to make really good decisions. But once again, back to the gate. So if something is necessary, it does not necessarily elevate it to the level of biological need for survival. Not the same thing. So defining these terms is very important. So go on to the next gate, the third gate, the final gate here. Is it kind? So if we ran through the fact that we need air, we need water, and we need food, and that's true. And is it necessary? Yes, but it's a biological need. And is it kind? Well, it depends on how long you've gone without air, water, and food to allow somebody to have those things. If you prevent those things, you'll probably drop the water and food really fast just to make sure you got your air. So if you allow somebody at the very least to keep their wind, keep their air, the water and food become things that I can manage. And then after that, the shelter and anything else after that. And that would be the not only social needs, but also the needs to affiliate, that sort of stuff, and then to create and grow, whatnot. You need those fundamentally. But what about the practical day-to-day social thing? When we're talking about things that can influence the well-being and safety of a group, another person, and if we're saying things that are untrue, that are unkind, that are unnecessary, are we taking apart somebody's opportunity to be part of a group that, if we were in cave person times long time ago, would we die as a result of being shunned? Would we be more apt to be hunted if we were hunting alone and not able to find a group? Chances are we wouldn't last too long. It doesn't matter how dominant the hunter you are as an individual. If your six is not covered or there's nobody there watching your back, it doesn't matter how small and weedy they may be, but if they're available to lend an eye and to signal to the others there's something behind you, well, that just increased your survivability, and also that also increased your tie to the tribe, so to speak. But when you don't have that, or by the influence of words, words can be powerful. Someone says something that is not true, unnecessary, and unkind, and gets the group to turn against you, then they've basically, during caveman times, written you a death sentence. That means you weren't going to last long unless you found another group. And let's say the groups were really few and far between, and the groups didn't get along very well, and therefore that's why they needed distance. That could be a problem. So you very quickly get a lot higher on the wild animal menu, and that's not a good sign. So the next thing, whenever we use these three gates in a more modern sense, how is this helpful to me as an individual? And how is it helpful to the groups that I interact with? And how is it helpful to be able to encourage good relationships and good communication? A really important exercise to use whenever applying the three gates is the compassionate perspective. Have I walked a mile in their shoes? And that's actually putting myself in their place. Or even possibly taking the third person perspective, the dispassionate observer, the person that doesn't have a stake in things, that's observing from the outside, and paying attention to, well, maybe not the feelings, but the larger outcome from the third person and the second person perspective, taking into account what feelings may come as a result of what maybe I want to tell somebody. If you see somebody that's making mistakes in the modern work sense, or in the family, or in a relationship, and you're quick to want to correct them, or maybe even really abruptly saying something because it's irritating to you, and it seems to make you uncomfortable. Mind you, this is a projection of your own discomfort, but yet we very quickly say, don't do that. That's bothering me. That's irritating me. Or why are you doing that? In a sense that it sounds like, by my tone, that it's not only critical, but it's not constructive criticism. It is criticism, which means you're basically cutting down their attempts, whether it's their best attempt or maybe their worst attempt, but still as an individual, blaming them and giving them ownership for a mistake and tying it to their sense of self or identity in a way. So why is this compassionate perspective so important? Because I worry about, or more correctly, think about the feelings that maybe I'm inciting in this individual by virtue of the words and the tone that I may take whenever maybe I'm talking to them, maybe I'm correcting them. And that's not taken into consideration that maybe they're having a hard time. Maybe they're doing their best and they're not very familiar. But yet we're criticizing or giving critique from a perspective of inconvenience, my own inconvenience, versus a consideration of maybe this isn't their cup of tea. Maybe they're very tired. Maybe they're exhausted. They're not feeling well. Maybe they were put up to do this job and there were things that happened to them before that we don't know about, but yet their attention and emotional load has left them bereft and weak and unable. But yet we may be very quick to criticize and critique. So sometimes taking into consideration the feelings I might bring up help us get to the point of if something is necessary from gate two. And three, is it kind? Am I delivering this message in a way that's kind and generative, something that's supportive, something that's not hurtful, something that doesn't sound hateful or impatient, or maybe delivering the message in a way that doesn't sound like somehow their effort or maybe their mistake or whatever it is that they're doing that may not be a peak performance, for instance, is somehow impacting my own individual capacity to move forward and elevate myself. And this is where we have to be careful. The three gates help us do that. If I'm going to say anything, if I'm going to speak something truthfully, maybe giving a gentle critique or encouraging to somebody to do better and telling them, hey, I see you're working pretty hard there. Can I help you? Maybe even offer an assistance. And I see you're working pretty hard there. Oh, you forgot something. Let me get this for you. Being able to provide an assistance and support and let them know that you're not denigrating them, but at the very least appreciate that they're doing what they're doing because you're paying attention to them. Sometimes that's hard to do. Now, whenever we determine whether or not something is solid, factual, true, or evidence-based, it doesn't necessarily give us permission to use this as the hammer of God to smash somebody, or because I'm correct or having to be correct. If we're fighting with, I must be right, I have to be right, in delivery of a critique or criticism, then it becomes unkind very quickly if we're not careful. And we have to separate ourselves from that egoistic response. in the sense that I'm preserving myself, my self-image, my idea of who I am, because I can't be associated with this negativity or this lack of care for whatever job is being done, no matter what it is. We very quickly put ourselves on a little pedestal and like talking down to people if we allow such things to go on. The idea is self-regulation is not allow ourselves to get off of balance, not allow ourselves to play the ego games either, but also not to be unkind to someone else. So the three gates are helpful in helping us keep an even keel in communication, an even keel in those things that are hard to do when we're tired, especially at the end of the day, when even we may be a little short of energy, a little exhausted. And it may help us slow down a little bit so we can think our way through versus allowing our emotions and our feelings to do the decision making on how we're going to deliver a message. So the three gates once again help us do that. Now, currently in our time, we're experiencing people getting really roused up on social media about the eclipse and everything that's going on globally, and they're tying it to government and money and all those hot button triggers and separation and differences in people and race and all this mess. There are a lot of messages out there that are trying to turn person against person versus being kind and unified. And there are a lot of people out there putting good messages out there too. And it's not even so much a fight of good versus evil, anything like that. But we have this very black and white reasoning, this diametric opposition that seems to look at the world as if it's so dualistic that it's got to be one or the other. And nothing could be further from the truth. Now, the thing is, like the Voltaire quote, if people can get you to believe in absurdities, they can get you to do atrocities. Comes to play in this moment in the sense that if we get overly emotional about things and we start reacting and allowing our emotions to drive the decisions we make for the behaviors that we're going to apply, how we're going to act with people, how we're going to treat people, then we've made a huge error, not only in the way we go about thinking, but the way we go about doing that has a farther reaching impact than the mere action occurring within a moment, because then you have the memory of things that may incite not only negative memories, but bad feelings in other people that may trigger things that may not be so good. If you upset somebody at work or somebody gossips and hurts your feelings, what happens if you take that home? What happens if they take it home and they have family at the house? And people always use this little metaphorical idea of, you know, the angry husband comes home after getting in trouble at work, and then, you know, he kicks the dog bites the cat scratches the kid starts crying, mom gets mad, mom yells at dad yells at mom, so on and so forth, and it becomes this really ugly circle. Let us think about what we're encouraging in someone else so that they can take the higher path, so they can do a better job of going home, not with more stress, not with more lack of energy. Encourage people. Let them know what they're doing well. Encourage them and tell them, hey, sometimes it's difficult, but just know, hey, it gets better. This isn't forever. It's not all the time. And let them know that you're not only paying attention, but that you care about their well-being. Sometimes we have to demonstrate that sense of compassion by reaching out and maybe giving a minute, maybe listening to somebody versus telling them, this is how I did it and this is how I solved my problem. Nobody wants to hear your story in the sense of how you overcame. But there's always somebody that's willing to listen to somebody that's willing to listen. Because then it becomes a reciprocating factor versus just an echo chamber into which someone is yelling. So let's be kind with each other. Let's give each other that time. Let's give ourselves a little support, because these are tough times right now, but we're going to get through it. We're good people. We all are. And I like to know that the good people that I'm talking to out there will also be sharing this podcast with other people that are equally as good and trying to encourage not only compassion, but patience and hopefully use of the three gates. Whenever we're going to say anything, this is not only self-regulation, it's not censorship. Self-regulation and also seeding a compassionate future forward by using these three gates, asking before I say, before I do, is it true? Secondarily, second gate, is it necessary? And then finally, is it kind? Is what I'm saying kind? Does it proffer kindness? Does it move kindness forward? And am I leaving this person in a better state? Am I leaving this place in a better state than it was than when I found it, as far as like a work situation, that sort of thing? And if so, then the gates have done their job for you, and you've done a good job of using them. I certainly encourage you to have patience with yourself so that you can have patience with other people. Also, take care of yourself, be kind, rest well, eat well, and also, whenever you have a chance, be kind to your neighbor, because you never know what they're going home to. And it'd be a bad thing if we overload them and they take home something from work that isn't good for family. So taking the long view sometimes requires that we be patient once again. Be kind to yourself, be kind to your neighbor. And above and beyond all things, use the three gates. It'll help us in guiding not only what we say, but also seeding kindness in the future and in other people. And it does make a difference. So that's all I'm going to talk about today. I want to tell you thank you for your time. Certainly good talking to you. And we'll be talking about some other topics along the lines of mental immunity in the future, and also emotional and physical immunity, having to do with developing a greater sense of health, wealth in our lives, and also a sense of centeredness and being able to walk in a better way. So I want to tell you thanks once again. Signing out for now. If you want to send me any feedback, send it to the email runningmangetskillsproject@gmail.com. And we're found on YouTube and all major podcast platforms. Take care. Good talking to you. Walk well.